Tim.
Kind of nice. When a teenager's trying to run it.
Where are you working at now? Oh, okay. Is that Sean?
Sean does. He was on a...
You all right on that?
All right, we'll go ahead and call the Public Safety Committee, potential for possible quorum of the City Council to order for Wednesday, March 23rd, 2023 at 6:30 p.m. Do we have any changes to the agenda?
No, ma'am.
Approval of minutes for January 25th, 2023?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of January 25th, 2023.
Second.
Looks good. All right, we'll do the election of the vice chair, public safety.
I'll make a motion for Ken Hancock.
I'll second that.
Thank you.
Hey, you gotta speak fast.
Yeah. Had a different plan in mind here, but okay.
All right, any public comment for items not listed on tonight's agenda? If there's anybody online, is it star six? If you'd like to make a comment. All right, we'll move to fiscal year 2023-24 draft for the budget review.
So, before the committee tonight is the first draft of the budget for the public safety for the police department. I do apologize, with our new system, the format isn't quite as clean as I would like to see compared to what the final budget documents are. The police department is broken into three different divisions. It just isn't real clear here unless you're looking at some of the codes. And what I mean by that is, if you look on the left-hand column, there is a series of blue numbers. Like in this case, the very first line, law enforcement grants, is 128-210-41902. What I want to point out is that middle three digits, that 210, that's basically our department code in this version. And the next version you'll see will be in the final format that goes into the budget committee, and it'll be broken out so it's a little more clear. What we're looking at. So division 210 is patrol, 220 is dispatch, 230 is jail, and 240 is administration. I'll kind of recap those as I go through. My intent is just to kind of walk you guys through based on the divisions. Feel free to stop if there's questions at any time. I'm more than happy to answer. We'll say overall, a couple of changes. We're reflecting the loss of the Oregon University of Oregon dispatching contract. So you'll see in this that we're going from 7 dispatchers to 5. With that, we're not laying off anybody. We currently have 1 vacancy and then 1 resignation report at the end of the fiscal year. So that'll be our second. In this, we've actually kind of rearranged a few things, and we are showing a 10th officer position in this budget, and that's not based on any additional contract revenue or anything like that. You won't see anything like that, whether it's a SRO, whether it's a dispatching contract. There's nothing else in here. This is just straight what Junction City itself has, which is one more officer than what we currently have budgeted. In this fiscal year, there's 9. There was talk about adding a 10th with the SRO. That didn't happen, but we were able to work the budget coming up to go ahead and add that tenth regardless. Questions on that big picture stuff right there?
The only one I have one on expenses, that's okay. It says building rent, what is?
So that's for the, basically the trailer that is used for Evan.
Okay.
I do want to point out, you'll see some money in the U of O police contract. That's the 220-42514, about the fifth or sixth one down. And that's because the U of O contract doesn't end at the fiscal year, they're going for a couple of months after. So that's just why you see the 36,000 there, that's what's anticipated after July 1. Going through on the expenses, tried to keep it pretty close to what it was last year. There's no real significant increases. There's been some lines that have moved to better reflect more how we code things across all departments. Finance Director Crocker has made some changes. So you'll see some things that may have gone out of like software and applications to their own line that's better clarified what it is. For like software, annual software or internet. There's just some of those that are being cleaned up. So in the patrol, there's no significant changes. That's the 210. Unless there's questions on 210, I'll just keep trucking right along into 220, which you'll notice the direct wages went from 390 in this fiscal year to pretty proposed 289. That's the reduction of the two dispatchers. And I do apologize, I'm not quite as familiar with this one as I am some of the others. You will see that we did increase for fuel on throughout here, just like we did on the public works side. So, any questions on 220? Hearing any. 230 is the jail. That's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. Not just a continuation of what we are doing today in this current year. There are no significant changes from there. If you have something to add at any point, Eric, feel free to chime in too. Questions on the jail section?
The only thing I anticipate is the jail costs are going to go up and goes up every year, but probably not more than $5 to $10 per day.
How many is it by bed over there or just?
We pay per day.
Per day? Okay.
Any other questions on 230? Keep trucking along 240. 240 is the administration. It's kind of the overall catch-all for the police department. Probably more you see more of your expenses in there. Again, not making a whole lot of changes or trying to rock the boat on anything there. Just trying to keep things the status quo at this point. One thing I will point out, you'll see second to last line, it says transfer to court fund. So what that is this is a one-time transfer from the police department bucket to the court bucket to get it back to zero. That still leaves over $540,000 in the police department its bucket. The minimum balance, or the minimum required amount in there is about $390,000 based on current fiscal policy. So even with the transfer, we're still well above minimum. And again, it's a one-time transfer. Questions? So in that case, I'll go to the capital projects fund. Big thing to note, to point out here, is we got a pretty healthy balance in there. I did stick a fair amount on line 800-20 CEP projects. Keep in mind, that's the capital projects for the department. It's a part of the approved capital expenditure plan. I know there are things that need to be addressed. At this point, I'm kind of just waiting for the next person to let them figure out what they want to do, but I wanted to leave that in there to give them the most flexibility to address whatever the current priority may be. I have a feeling their CEP will change based on whoever is the next chief at this point. So there's not anything specifically planned. There's not anything, you know, necessarily there, but it's just that, just in case, and still leaving a healthy fund balance at the end of the day with about $153,000 in there for future expenses for the department. So kind of trying to do both. Leave the flexibility, but yet still build it up for those future expenses. Questions?
So just to recap, the line item number 210, middle numbers, that's police, and that this budget provides for 8 police officers. And then we have the 240, which provides for a police and a deputy chief for a total of 10.
Yes, sir.
And then we've got the 220, which is dispatch, and that provides for a total of 5. Do you think you can make it with 5 dispatchers?
That's the way it was for years.
No problem? And then I have just a couple of other sideline comments if we're at that point.
I have said everything I have on the budget, so.
All right. So, two things that I would like to discuss briefly. And this kind of ties to the next agenda item, which is the training records. But if you look at the salary and the training records, they're kind of hand in hand. So, it appears to me that our dispatch center is highly qualified. And they really should be able to handle anything that we task them with. And so they've all been through the basic. They all have EMD. You know, those are the two things we look for immediately, right? Emergency medical dispatching. And so there was some conversation about Oak Ridge requesting dispatch services, and then that was tabled. And so what I would like to talk to the committee about is, since we are qualified and since we do have the people who can do the task, and since we have lost the U of O, should we then ask the city administrator, police chief, to go ahead and make contact with Oak Ridge, figure out what all those details are, and bring them back to us so that we can discuss it?
I think it's a great idea.
We can always bring it back and talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just fact gathering at this point, and go up and see what this would entail, and whether or not it provides income for our department that would be of value, mm-hmm. and get some assurances that that's something the department thinks they can take on as well. So I'm kind of at that stage. And what would you need from us? You just need the committee to say we're comfortable with that, or tell me what you want.
Yeah. Based on what I've heard at this point, is the consensus of the committee to bring back information for the committee to look at, and having the departmental input in on making sure they're comfortable with providing the services and what kind of financial impact, incentive, I'm not sure what the right word is, would be for the city if we went down that path. And I think that's something I would be more than happy to do and bring back to the committee. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, I'd be glad to meet with Chief Martin. We do joint training every year, so I have a relationship with him. Be glad to do that.
And how would that look for dispatch? Would that get another dispatch position? Would that?
Based on a rough look, I mean, I haven't asked Mike to give me the exact number, so keep in mind that things can change. But basically, on average, your dispatcher's city's all-in cost is about $90,000 annually. So if you have a dispatch contract of $100,000, that would add one more dispatch position back into the rotation.
If it's needed.
Yeah, if it's needed. we'd have that flexibility to do.
It sounds like maybe it's not. I have one other thing I'd like to briefly discuss. This is after going through everything today and spending quite a few hours at the kitchen table. I believe that we have to be competitive, right? So the unions do a great job of going out and taking comps and bringing them back, and then we do our best to meet somewhere. Normally it's not in the middle, but we do the best we can. For those who aren't in the union, it's really up to us to kind of keep an eye on that. And so I think that as we move forward to post for a police chief's position, which is in this packet today, we have to recognize that that salary is a little bit low when it comes to competitive edge. And so I would like to propose that we add about $10,000 to the budget for that salary. Now that, having spent a lot of time thinking about this, what I'd like to share is I like incentives. And I think that if you just give straight wages, that's a short-term motivator. You have to attract the right candidates, though. And you're talking about a police department that has police, corrections, dispatch. You know, finding a candidate that can really fit the bill is tough. And so you want to attract people who are highly qualified with a lot of experience. And so I think that if we could add that to the budget, then it goes to the budget committee and goes to the council and all gets to be discussed. But one of the things that we could talk about is incentive. And for instance, you could wait until the end of the fiscal year. You have clear goals that are identified by the committee or the council that the police chief has to meet. And then if he meets those goals, then at the end of the fiscal year, you could pay the incentive pay, if you will. And of course, it's never $10,000 because after taxes, it's nowhere near that. But I think that would put us closer to a market where we could attract a number of candidates. I think last time you said we had three candidates or something, you know, and you really want to see that pool open up. So that's just my initial thought on that. And of course, then it goes into the budget and goes to the budget committee and the council, and everybody gets an opportunity to debate it. But I'll tell you also, I think your salary is a little bit low. So that would actually put the police chief like a little bit above you. And so I think that I really like incentive pays, especially when it comes to answering to a council and answering to committees, that if we provide clear goals that you have to achieve in order to receive the incentive pay or you don't, then it really keeps people on track with a focus. It gives them a drive, right? And clearly that also helps us communicate, because we're saying you have to finish these things this year for us to support that. So those are the two things, since we're talking budget, that I wanted to discuss with the committee and to get feedback and to just put out on the table.
I'm up for that. We talk about it, put it in the budget, figure out where money's coming from and everything.
Yeah.
It's that time of year to do it. We're going to be working on the budget.
I agree.
So then I guess, Jason, it would fall on you to adjust the numbers. And
yes, absolutely. I'm just trying to, we don't have any other position with the incentive pay concept.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of trying to process my mind through that.
Right. Well, we have the job description for the police chief here. And so I thought we might be able to even add it to that type of language.
Yes, but there's our salary compensation schedules that we would have to figure out how to reflect that. And so
right.
The pause was my brain trying to figure out how to get there. But absolutely.
Because well, I'm glad it's not easy.
Well, what would happen, let's say, you know, go through the job description, that gets updated. Then when it comes to council for resolution, the changes are adopted by resolution, we can do the change to that, skip, kind of lock it all together at the same time.
Right.
So that wouldn't be a problem. So
that's the only two things I had for the budget.
Madam Chair, you entertain conversation from the audience. Two things on the budget.
Jack, you got to say who you got to give all the info.
Jack Sumner, 1061 Quench Drive. I see we're dropping $175,000 to the police cap fund. We're dropping that down to $5,000. We're moving that, looks like we're moving that into court fund. Can you explain why you're going into the court fund with $175,000?
So there's two pieces, and I'll address both of your questions. The first one is the transfer to the capital projects fund. That, currently we're in, the police department had a higher fund balance surplus, so it triggered the city's fiscal policy for an automatic transfer. Normally, the transfer into the capital fund is somewhere between $5,000 and $15,000 annually. The reason why it's five is the plan is out of date and it needs to be some updated, so I don't know what the exact number is.
Okay.
The 175 is a one-time transfer from the fund balance to get the court out of the negative fund balance it's at today.
Okay. And the other thing, administrative charges goes up to $333,000. Are we redistributing admin charges throughout all departments?
Correct. That's part of the charges that gets split out throughout all the departments. It actually went down a little bit in this year's budget. It's $350,000.
Okay.
And we're going down to $333,000.
All right. One other thing is this includes the money we got from Senator Manning, as he said he gave us money.
So that is in the Police Capital Projects Fund.
Right.
And it's under that Grant Oregon ARPA fund, $320,000 there. And the remainder of that money is sitting on 240-840 capital outlay projects.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yep.
All right, are we good on the budget review?
I'm good.
We can move on to the jail inspection report review.
So this item was before the committee per request. Not really sure what the committee would like to do with it, but I did provide the information as requested. Deputy Chief Markell did a good job of getting me all the info that I asked for. So if there's questions, I'm probably just going to punt right to him on that one.
I had a few, but yeah?
Yeah, we'll see if any of my few are your few. Go ahead.
Okay. So this was about a year and a half ago that DOC conducted the inspection. Just making sure we don't have a more current inspection than that, right?
No, that's the most recent one.
Is it every year or every 2 years that they're doing?
Every 2 years.
Every two, yeah. So the DOC inspection looked fine. And then it's a jail risk assessment. That was a little different story, right? Do you know if there, I counted 14 different items in the CIS risk inspection. Do you know if any of those have been corrected or addressed?
Just about all of them have.
Okay, good. Shall we run through them real quick then?
Yeah.
Maybe it's the easiest way. So you have to have a doctor or nurse available 4 hours a day, 7 days a week for a muni jail. Resolved?
That financially isn't feasible. So we have access to what they recommended to like telemed, but we have a call on doc.com. That's $40 for consultation.
Okay.
But if they need any type of medical treatment, we either first response is to call the doctor, they'll come check them out. If not, then we'll take them over to urgent care and then we'll go to the hospital.
Okay, and I think telehealth is an acceptable alternative according to our insurance carrier.
Right, yes.
And did they review the answers to this report, CIS?
I've talked to her a few times since then, but no, we haven't talked about all the other.
All right, and law library, pretty easy to solve, right? Was that?
Yeah, it's just online.
Yeah.
And nobody's asked since I've been here. I don't know. Also bother my.
No one ever does, but
yeah.
You still
have
to.
But it's there, we need it.
Right. Use of force situations, so we have to report those to the insurance carrier.
Yeah, that's been added to the policy.
Okay.
It falls back on the supervisor.
Are we still using Lexapol? Great. And I'm assuming we're still accredited, right?
Yes.
Great. I'm not going to talk about hearing conservation because I know that that has to be happening. PPE assessments?
Yeah, those are addressed in two different flexible policies.
Yeah.
And when COVID hit and then all the other riots were going on, we actually had extra PPE and then, gas masks and we had training.
Right.
And all that.
Super, yeah. Worker compensation for everyone that is being employed, so that would include all the volunteers that we have.
And that's what it falls under. So quarterly, we report the volunteer hours to HR, and the AICs fall under that.
Yeah, they give you hourly billing. Audit of the camera footage?
Yeah, so they provided a form for us to use.
Yep.
And so our jail's just starting to get back up since.
Yeah.
And they get audited or reviewed all the time because the prosecutor and the DA want.
No problem. Audit of the cell log checks.
Same thing. So I just tweaked the form. They only sent me the form for the camera audit. I just tweaked that form for the jail check.
Exactly. Right. And then the fire riot hostage taking environmental contaminations and natural disasters are staff trained annually. Did you just add that to the annual?
I put it under the jail policy, and they provided, I think it was Benton County's policy. So we didn't even have to really rewrite it. We just stole their policy.
Ergonomic studies?
Those we haven't done. We do have the super fancy chairs in there that are recommended, and then the desks are up and down.
We had them done years ago, but I think the insurance company actually will come in and do that for you.
Yeah, and right? So we probably should talk to Mr. Knopen, just having the whole city do it. CIS said they'll do it. So.
Oh, well, probably so, yeah. And then the Oregon State Association's Jail Command Council, the meetings and trainings. Are we going to those?
No, and to be a part of that is very expensive. So I did attend a training with, I was the only municipal one last year with a lot of the sheriff's offices by the state, and we actually was out of state. So,
yeah.
Yeah, they looked into inviting us, but yeah, it was going to be very expensive to join.
So we're in pretty good shape.
I think so, yes. Yeah. If you look on that one assessment, I think it goes back 5 or 6 years, and we've had zero.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah. Well, I mean, do you have any concerns in operating the local correctional facility there?
I don't, and one thing that's not, or maybe it is mentioned, I can't remember, that we took the desks out because they recommended that those come out.
Okay.
They also recommend at some point removing the bunk beds. However, I was talking to Chief Larson, that we may lose one of the spots because we just can't put four single, ground level beds in there. There's just not the space. We may have to go down to three if that's in good one.
We can talk about that at another PSC if it has to happen. Okay, great. And what I saw, I'm kind of combining training records now, what I saw was two corrections certified personnel. Is that right? You and Mike.
Correct.
Is that correct? Do we have a plan to increase that number?
We do, and it's just been staffing to get them to the academy. So fortunately for the police side, there's a police to corrections class, which is a lot shorter than the normal corrections academy.
Yeah. Well, it's a COD class, right? 2 weeks for police?
I think it went up to three now.
That was a three.
It was two.
It was two when we were in the first class.
They increased it or not.
Two. Okay. The other thing that I just want to talk about briefly, and you think about this, is dual certification with dispatchers. Now, they have to go longer. But what I'm curious about, I think that would put them into police and fire, and they could retire at age 50, which is a huge benefit to our dispatchers. 52? They changed that?
No, it's still 50, and we looked into that, but then they changed the dispatch, and now it's just 25 years. So the dispatch can still retire at full benefits at 25 years.
Okay, so there's no age.
That's why we were looking at doing that.
Right, right.
And we reached out to DPSSD, and they can go to the 2 or 3 week course. The police do. They just didn't receive the training. They just wouldn't actually get the certification.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So that may be something they looked at as well.
Nice.
I got nothing now.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Well.
I think we had almost everything the same, so that's good. Anything, Chase? All right, departmental training review.
Again, this is another requested item. And we provided the information as requested. It was a lot more lengthy than I thought it was going to be, but again, Deputy Chief Markell was very helpful in helping me get it together, so if there's questions, I'll probably just punt over to that side of the room again.
Do you have any questions?
No, there was just little, not really any questions, but I think it was just, like whatever training anybody can get, I think is great, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you look at the hours, I mean, there's quite a few hours for each person that's here.
So what I got out of this, we have 8 police officers right now. That's not counting you, chief. 3 of them just graduated, so they'll have to go into the FTO program. So that narrows it down to 5. And I think that, and I saw 6 dispatchers, 1's leaving in June, is that what I heard? And so down to 5. Everybody looks, as far as dispatchers, great. And police, you'll have to bring the 3 to the FTO program, but everybody knows that. Is that 3 segments now, the FTO program? How long is it?
Well, what do you guys, 3 months before you went to the academy?
Yeah, so
3 months before, was it?
Yeah. And we're open, you know, 3 months afterwards, so we're a total of 6 months. And if they progress faster, then they'll...
I'm not one for rushing.
Yeah.
Really, when it comes to training, I'm all about just, you know, take the time you need to make sure they know what they're doing. Because confidence is a huge part of being a police officer, right? And I used to reach back all the way to my FTO program after I'd been out of it for 20 years and remember things that my FTO had taught me. And so I think it's a critical part of the transition from being a citizen to a police officer to a police officer who has confidence and knows what they're doing and can reflect on that. So I'm not one for rushing any of that.
Well, and we started the last couple hires delaying the academy just so they can spend a lot of time on the road before they go, and we think that's beneficial.
Yeah.
For the academy and for the show.
How many FTEP certified officers do we have?
I'm not sure. I'd have to look to find out.
Yeah, it's in here. I just didn't write it down. So, but I thought I saw 2. Is it 3? Thank you. I'm getting. It's like either that or I'm supposed to throw a different pitch. I'm not sure which that is, but 3. Okay. Good. So those were the notes I had. There is, so a comment that I have, and for lack of a better place to put it, one of the concerns, of course, is the visibility of patrol, right? I can tell you with 5 police officers and 3 in training, you're not going to have much visibility because they're going to be busy, right? Correct me if you disagree with me, you're perfectly welcome to, but it's hard to get high visibility with just 5 police officers, 3 people in training. Because you're going to answer calls, or you're going to come back, you teach. Everything you're doing is teaching, so it slows down, really. The process slows down. So one of the things that I would like to just toss out, because obviously I feel strongly about it, is the senior citizens on patrol. They are one of the greatest tools in the arsenal of a police department because they have the visibility. You know, they're not out shagging all the calls. They go to all the games. Captain Sumner, sitting right there, ran the ESCOP program. And they went to all the games, the dances. They helped with code enforcement. You know, I don't know about you, but I've seen plenty of trailers parked out in the streets and cars that are sitting out there. And it's been, I think, years since really code enforcement has taken place in Junction City. So they helped with that. Now, you couldn't go in really heavy on this. You'd have to be gentle and knock on doors and talk to people, because if you haven't enforced something for years, the last thing you want to do is go out and start issuing tickets, right? Doesn't go over well. So you have to gain community compliance. But what I would like to ask, Larry, is you have a lot of familiarity with this program.
Yeah.
Do you feel that in short order we could bring the ESCOPs back to being a viable part of the police department and helping with this visibility?
Probably, yes. I was going to start a program. It was going to be C-COPS in Coburg, Citizens on Patrol, for that exact reason, for high visibility. Had them pick up, because I was going to put them in something other than a patrol car or something that's marked differently, just for that exact purpose, because they're out in the community and they know people. They're not rushed like a police officer doing a report or something like that. So I think it's a great program. I haven't talked to Deputy Chief Mark Kelly yet, but I think we're going to make the escape a volunteer vehicle, because I know there's been some concerns about a volunteer driving a marked patrol unit, which I think could be, you know, if somebody runs a red light and they don't respond, they're going to say the police department didn't do it, not right. The volunteer.
Right.
They don't know it's a volunteer. So, I mean, I think it's, things do it well.
So I just need to know.
And I think there's a policy on volunteers for accreditation. Teachers have to have play a different uniform.
Yeah.
Before they had white shirts, black pants. A little bit of training on what expectations are.
Yeah.
But I think it's a great program.
I just think it would go a long way to help with visibility and actually seeing vehicles out on the road and involved in the neighborhoods.
So my question would be, because I had toyed with this on doing, or copying the Scout program, I went with the citizens because them are not restricted by age. You know, there's a certain threshold on people. We did have, I was gonna have a requirement that they live in the city, but I didn't, wasn't gonna have a age requirement. And of course, you'd have to do a little bit of a background, make sure you're not picking up a bad apple or something.
Well, okay, so the SCOPs, of course, we had presentations done here by Eugene. Eugene PD came in here and presented the whole program. And one of the, I would say, attributes of senior citizens on patrol is that they do a great job of talking with the public, you know, and they're not necessarily looking to police, to be police officers. And so it's a different approach. And so I'm just saying that.
Yeah, I just don't remember what had an age requirement. If you had somebody a year or two younger, I don't want to restrict them necessarily, but I don't want a 28-year-old, right, who, for maybe the wrong reason,
right,
wanted to get into the program.
Getting into, what, like a reserve.
I think that's a balance. That's where I think the background would come in. But either way, I mean, I think it's a good program to have volunteers out in the community.
I think we have to do something to increase our presence in the community.
And then hopefully it takes a little bit of pressure off of patrol.
That's right.
Some of the lower level.
That's right. I mean, the FTO period is, as I mentioned, it's not gonna go quickly because you have to train. And anytime I trained, it slowed me down to about, I would say, half speed, you know? Even writing of the reports, because you're gonna sit there and go through the reports and everything. So if we're looking for immediate, and we are, visibility, and we're looking for interaction, which I like, with the public, especially at the ball games and things where there's a presence, it really just goes a long way to cementing those relationships with the community.
I like the idea.
I like the idea of it too. Of course, I'm a big fan of volunteer work in law enforcement.
Yeah.
But I kind of want to know too, like a little bit how, I guess, the rest of the department would feel about it. Like we're, you know, I want input from everybody in the department.
Yeah.
I know some are here tonight, probably not ready to speak or anything, but that's okay. Talk about it. We have meetings monthly, and because I'd like any feedback, you guys, like, how would you guys want that to look as a department too? Maybe present something back to us. Everybody's okay with that?
Yeah.
Is that okay with you?
With me.
Everybody all right with that? Okay. Sounds good. Anything?
That's it.
All right. Committee purpose statement.
Sorry. So before the committee tonight is the very lengthy Public Safety Committee purpose statement.
Yes.
So I've got a couple of things with this. Number one, it's been a while since that purpose statement was reviewed. But even further, I kind of want to pitch an idea to the committee that I think the purpose statement is great, but it doesn't quite go far enough to kind of carve out what the committee does or doesn't do. Because I think there's a lot of things that are left to interpretation, and that's where we get ourselves in trouble. Because, you know, one group to the next may interpret a little different. Staff members may interpret the purpose a little bit differently. And what I'd like to kind of throw out as a food for thought, maybe looking at creating something that gives a little more structure to what the committee does, what staff brings to the committee, kind of that whole bit. I kind of go back to, if you look in the city's past, when the city has ever done subcommittees, we create our own guideline charter for that subcommittee. But I feel it does a great job of laying out what everybody's supposed to do, and kind of helps make it so there's no interpretation. My thought would be, is that something that maybe we would like to look at creating for the public safety? Ultimately, with the mind's eye doing it for all the other three committees as well, but it just kind of, to me, I'd like to try to get something that better lays out what everybody's expectations are. So there's no guess or trying to, because what I've noticed with committees, it's the workload, I guess, I don't know what's the right word I want to use, can vary depending on who's chair and who's staff lead. And I think that's, you know, get something that's carved out a little bit better, then that's not as an important piece to the dynamic. And it's kind of always laid out, and there's always, you know, we always know what to do, whether, regardless of who's here or who's not. That makes sense. So if it's something the committee would be interested in, what I would like to do is kind of take this purpose statement plus whatever input and create a kind of a rough draft for the committee to look at in a format that I'm kind of got in my head that's similar to what we've done with subcommittees to maybe start working that out and seeing what works or what doesn't. You know, looked in the bylaws, and that's something that's totally doable within the bylaws. There's not a issue there. So.
Well, that sounds like a great idea. I think that, yeah, you want a little more than that? It's a, with the addition of two citizens to the PSC, so my understanding is those applications will open online next week, the end of the month. Yeah, the 30th. And so then we're talking about five people. And so what I think would be helpful is if we begin to formulate policy. So by that, I mean we look at various things. For instance, we decide we want to have a ESCOP program. That is then discussed, and then the committee decides, you know, yes, we agree with an ESCOP program. And then we can formulate a policy or review an accredited policy, and we can either, as the committee, say we agree with this or refer it to the council if we think it's a bigger issue that the council needs full input on. And so I think that would move us more into a policy setting type of a role as opposed to, I mean, I love communication, obviously, and all of this is important, but I do think that we would start to get more out of the committee if we formed policies.
And that's really the crux of when I say interpretation. What one person thinks policy, another one may not. You know, I've seen it at the public works level, I've seen public safety level, and that's really the role. But, you know, that is the ballywhack of the council and the committee is that policy aspect. Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, like you pointed out tonight, the discussions on this ESCOP program or, you know, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you think it'll wait till we have the two citizens? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would give the chief the opportunity then to talk to a policy setting board, if you will, on a smaller scale. I think all large issues ought to always go to the council, you know, but some of the day to day type issues I think that we could just work with and do the house cleaning on.
Anything, Sid?
I'm good with bringing it back and checking it over and see what will work and what won't.
Yeah, and then I think after we get the two citizens on there, that'll be good input. Would they have any input on that, or would that be more of a...
I would almost like to get it kind of started, so you guys can get comfortable before... Because I have a feeling it's going to go to committee and back and up to council and can't really be decided at that level. But I'm fine with however the committee would like to approach it. It just might be a little easier to start getting it fleshed out now. So when you have the new people come on board, it's, hey, here's where it are.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where we're going.
Sure.
Because it could always be changed at any time. You know, right. The committee could update something at any time. But like I said, I'm fine either way, though. Either way, it won't be for... probably a month or two anyway before something would come back to the committee. And probably by then, you may already have all the applications you want for the for the second position, so maybe a moot point.
Okay.
But either way, yeah.
Alright.
I don't have a preference.
Yeah, I don't either, that's fine, yeah, okay.
Okay, thank you.
Departmental update.
So is that where we talk?
Yeah.
I haven't been to one of these in about 15 years for a public safety committee, so I'm for a little sports. I just wanted to introduce myself, Larry Larson, Colebrook Police Chief. Grew up in Washington and up by Mount Rainier. Started my police career here in Junction City in 1990 as a reserve police officer. Hired December 1st, 1993 as a full-time police officer, as a reserve, then a full-time police officer. Worked as a corporal, patrol sergeant, worked as a detective with INAT, the drug team in Eugene. 2008, I went to Iraq as a contractor, as an international police advisor, teaching Iraqis police work. Came home April of 2010. Junction City didn't have any openings as far as hiring, so I tested with Coburg July of that year and got hired, and then about a year later became the police chief. So I'm just kind of happy to be here, hoping I can help. That's what my outlook is. I'm just trying to help make the department better in whatever way I can. So a couple things. The jail is open. We currently have somebody in custody, a female arrested for criminal trespass. Trying to meet with everybody and kind of get my arms around stuff. I haven't met with Officer Bonner yet. I talked with Deputy Chief Mark Hill last night on the phone. He works total opposite shift of what I work, so they will talk to him on the phone. Going over some vehicles, I know that we are going to talk to Jason. We're going to surplus 5 vehicles, the bus being one, a Honda motorcycle, a Chevy Tahoe that has a blown motor, and then 2 Chargers that have front end, about $5,000 worth of front end suspension issues. So we're going to try to get rid of those 5. Just kind of clean that backlog up a little bit.
Yeah.
Volunteers, I met with or talked to David Kaufman, the chaplain, and then we do have a volunteer. Eric told me it started about a month ago, and that's Bob Nelson, who's currently doing business contacts, trying to update the business contacts for the computer or update that information. So I didn't know what to prepare for this meeting, so I kind of prepared what I would have done for Coburg City Council. So I have some stats. I asked Eric to get them for me. I only made 10 copies. Someone passes out to the committee members.
Thank you. Thank you.
And then here's some work.
We'll share.
So what I learned as a police chief in Coburg is that my job is to educate council, city administrator, mayor on what police departments do. So Eric got these stats for me, which show that the, you know, the officers were busy. The first one is officer stats by the officer. So they did. You can see it breaks it down per officer. And then you gotta remember there's 3 that just graduated the academy. So they're not really on that list as far as activity level. And this is from January 1st to March 23rd. So they did 78 traffic stops, 66 patrol checks, 4 foot patrols, 7 person stops, 19 community policing contacts, and then 1,160 total calls for service during that 3-month period of time. So if you break that out, that's quite a bit of activity for under 3 months. The next one is the arrests by the agency. So it breaks it down by the offense, by the crime. And then to the right, you'll see if it's a juvenile arrest or an adult arrest. And you can see about halfway down on page one, there's 11 arrests for failed to appear. You know, you have criminal trespass, DUII, reckless driving, and you've got pretty much everything. And where it says ticket, so those are where it gives somebody a UTC for a traffic crime or a CLC, a citation in lieu of custody. And that's where they get a ticket, but it's technically counted as an arrest. So that's why it's in the arrest stats. The next one is incident by offense. And if you look at that, there's four pages of different crimes and different violations that the police department has investigated or responded to. Alarm, animal complaint, assault, assist the fire department, assist OSP, 53, check welfare checks on people, 23 community policing contacts. And the next page, a couple of them that stand out is DHS referral. There was 41 referrals that came into the police department. And I haven't had a chance to dig in deep, but I think that anytime there's a referral, they investigate the DHS referral. It could be an immediate response. I think it just depends on what the referral is and how severe it is or not severe. Dog barking, there's 20 of them, so there's a lot of quality of life issues in here, driving complaints, the dog barking, dog at large. But you can see there's a vast variety of stuff that the police department responds to. And page three, there's 80 information reports, loud noise, 32, probably have that many in COVID or more. Mental health subject, there's 38, so you can just see that there's quite a bit of activity. And again, what I like is that it breaks it down and it shows you the vast variety of stuff that a small town police department responds to. And then page four, there's 43 suspicious conditions, 27 suspicious persons, 18 suspicious vehicles. So normally those are citizens calling in. It could be officer initiated, but most of the time those are citizens calling in to report somebody in their neighborhood or not to respond. Looks like trespass is pretty high, 44. But it's for a total of 1,428 incidences that we responded to. So I just thought that was good information to share with the committee. Also on, I have a copy here, I just got one copy because it's 50 pages. Statistical transparency of policing. So Junction City is a tier 3 police department. Coburg is a tier 3, so that would be like St. Helens, Sweet Home. It's under a certain population. But tier 3, so in that report, Junction City made 619 total stops, traffic stops. Two of those, 0.03%, were person stops. But it breaks it down by ethnicity. And so this report is just public information, but I wanted you guys to know that 619 traffic stops, and this is in the 2021 report. So I'll leave this for the committee so you guys can look at that if you'd like. But I just wanted to share some of the information. I think that the police department is pretty active. Of course, we always want more high visibility patrol and more traffic stops. Same thing in Coburg, same thing with us being in Harrisburg, same thing when we were up Health and Oak Ridge, up in Oak Ridge. So I think I know what the community wants, and that's what we're going to try to do moving forward.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to share that, and I'll leave this here somewhere. Right here. And then if there's any questions for me, I'll be glad to answer them.
I really like this report. It breaks it down more to what's going on and everything, and it really hits the nail on the head.
Yeah, I think police departments work their butt off, so I just think it's up to the chiefs to try to share that information on what we do with councils, committees. So that's why I thought I'd bring that forward.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And, oh, did he leave? I was gonna say, good work, Officer Marler. Looks like he's been busy.
Well, and I do want to say real quick, you know, congratulations to the three officers, Nathan Elfers, Aaron McDonald, and Levi Green, for graduating the academy.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks.
I had that at the end, but thanks.
Sorry.
No, you're good. I was gonna say something at the end. Thank you. All right, anybody else have anything on the departmental updates they'd like to add or share? All right, Chief of Police vacancy update.
So the first piece I have for the committee tonight is the job description of the chief. As our typical practice, when a position becomes vacant, we go ahead and review the job description and convert it over to the our most current format. That's what we have here. I was just looking for feedback from the committee. The committee likes to have questions or thought something needed to be changed. Typically what happens is this gets attached to a resolution and adopted by the council for the charter. We did have CIS take a look at it, see if they thought this would need some changes. They did have a few things that we've incorporated in. At this point, if there's questions on the job description, if you guys like to see some changes, I'd be more than happy to incorporate that.
I had one thing I was gonna bring up. I don't know exactly where it would fall, if it'd fall under experience or somewhere else in here. Something with having overseeing a jail, a dispatch, and patrol, like kind of all of the above, because not every agency may have all of the above, and so maybe I don't know if that'd be something worth adding in there or not.
So I'm just trying to look here, because I get where you're coming from, and there was a number of things that we kicked back and forth, and the CIS kind of said, you may not want to do that because you have unintended consequences. Give me just a moment here, trying to find the right spot. There's typically... We could put something in there, and I'm not sure where it is in this new format, I'm not as familiar, saying preference would be given to folks with that experience instead of making it a hard and fast requirement. Maybe now you may inadvertently eliminate somebody you don't want to. Because not every agency has all three pieces. You know, we can say, hey, preference would be given to someone with that experience, and that wouldn't be a problem. That's typically what we do, like a desirable skill versus a mandatory.
Okay. Anybody have any?
So most police chiefs know that the proper fit with a community is part of the job. Mm-hmm. And every community is different. And I've seen some very experienced police chiefs who have difficulties in their city because it's just not a good fit. And so I'm just wondering if we should add some language to this that says that the police chief is an at-will position.
So the non-represented are all considered at-will. By saying not represented under representation. So do you mean something like that, or are you looking for something a little further?
Yeah, a little more. Okay. So the personnel policy right now would apply to all of the positions that aren't identified by the union, correct?
I'm sorry, say that one more.
If somebody's not represented by a union, then the personnel policy, for the most part, governs them. So you have to build a case, if you will, if you want to let somebody go. In the position, in a police chief's position, you really shouldn't have to build a case. Sometimes they're just not a good fit for your community. Some of us know that. We just leave on our own, you know, and others don't. And I think that we ought to have the ability to let a police chief go without a lot of energy and...
Okay, so now I'm picking up where you're going, and that's not something that's reflected in a job description. That's another topic, which is I'm more than happy to talk about, because Junction City, we have history of both ways.
Right.
And what you're talking about is basically an employment contract, an employment agreement.
You can do it that way, yeah.
That's typically the way that it does it. It's got that, hey, you know, at any time, pull the trigger, you get, you know, 2 months pay, whatever,
right.
Out the door. I'm totally fine with that approach. We just want to make sure we have legal really look at the document so we don't end up like at one point in history where we did that, where a chief walked away with quite a bit of, because he got the buyout plus the protection of the employee manual, so it wasn't a well-written agreement.
Sure. Yeah,
but yeah,
we that's kind of what I'm addressing. Is we need to, I think we just need to spend some time on this issue, not necessarily this meeting, but come up with a professional answer that's contemporary and meets all of the standards.
Absolutely, I have no problem with that.
Okay.
And quite honestly, it makes my life easier.
Yeah.
Hard to say it that way, but at the end of the day, it does.
Anything else?
I'm good. I like that idea.
At that point, if you're all comfortable with the job description, I would like to try to toss out what the convoluted plan in my head is for recruitment. At this point, the next step is to have the council adopt the job description, which I'm envisioning doing that at the first regular meeting in April, and then at that point begin the advertisement process. Probably keeping it open month, 6 weeks, somewhere in there. I mean, I'd kind of like to, I don't want to set a hard and fast, because, you know, if we get 100 applications in 2 weeks, that's probably good to start the process. But I don't want to leave it open too long either. What I'm thinking, and I've tasked HR to help me figure out how to do this, is a process that's probably more similarly found when you do your city administrator recruitment. I'm looking for something that is a multi-tier process.
Right.
Because there's a couple of three different things I really want to look at. Potential fit with the department, law enforcement knowledge, and fit with the community.
Right.
Those are the three things. So to me, where I'm kind of kicking around in my head is doing an internal panel that's made up mostly of staff, probably... And I don't want to specify numbers, but mostly police department, but it's a couple other key folks that I know.
Sure.
Like, let's say someone from Public Works, because I know they interact with PD a lot. Doing a first interview. And then from there, doing hopefully, depending on the number of applicants that we get, kind of starting to narrow it down, having a second one that is, if I can sweet talk the surrounding agencies into helping me out, some law enforcement like Lynn County, Benton County, some folks to do an interview set to check, to make sure that they have the skills. For me, one of the big ones is the ability to handle the administrative functions of the department. Been bit twice in a row, so I like to make sure we check that checkbox thoroughly. And the only way to do that is bring some folks in that know what to ask. So then kind of going through that with that mindset, then doing, depending what the council would like to do, kind of envisioning like an interview panel, then maybe it's a combination of the council with some key representatives from the community. Don't ask me what that means necessarily, but you know, we all know there's folks that wouldn't hurt to bring to the table if they're interested to participate. Then once that's done, from that point, probably I'd say maybe like a top three or something like that. been doing kind of like a community event, like a meet and greet community about the top three candidates, so everybody gets a chance to kind of meet the top three, gives me a chance to see how they interact with the public and how that part works. And at that point, all the information is gathered and then selection is made when we move forward. I'm hoping, knock on wood, depending on how things fall together, to do this sooner rather than later. I would like to try to have something done by the end of the fiscal year, which would be June 30. That's going to be my goal, knowing I might have to slide a little bit, but I don't want to take a lot of time. I don't think there's any reason to. I think we'll get a lot of applicants in this first go around, and then I think we'll let the process work, and I think it shouldn't be an issue. At least that's what's in my head at any rate.
I think that's a professional process that you just outlined. We just need to add psych testing to that. We need to add psych testing to it at the end. I would say narrow it down to your three candidates or two and send them up for psych tests, just like we would any other police officer. Because really, those tests aren't so much a psych test as they are personality traits.
And for me, that's anymore when I deal with police, that's just kind of the SOP along with all the other pre-employment screening. For
yeah.
Sure. And I would probably want to do that if, you know, I mean, I can't, before we did the meet and greet, so we kind of knew if there was a red
flag. Agreed, yeah. So. Mm-hmm. Background investigation, all of those things, yeah.
Yeah, that could be stuff that could happen in my mind kind of simultaneously as we're doing.
You're right, yeah. That'd be perfect.
And that way, when we get to the end, we got everything, we know everything. And
right.
Real quick, Jason, you said like a three-tier process. What was the second?
So, second one is the law enforcement review, law enforcement panel. Like for county sheriffs, U of O, whoever, just, you know.
Yeah, I would definitely include the agencies that they'd be working with, like Eugene, Oak Ridge, if we're going to have a contract, if that works out.
Just
Benton County, you know, whoever you're in contact with.
I don't want to be too many people, but absolutely, yeah, that's just all the local folks that.
I think I would invite a DA rep as well. If not the DA, maybe an ADA can come and sit on that board.
Yeah, I was gonna say like some of our community partners,
yeah.
You know, other agencies, but DA's office would be good. Somebody from maybe Kids First, the Child Advocacy Center, since they're there.
Not at the law enforcement level, but that would be.
At some point, like.
Yeah, I'm thinking like when I get into that community partner
right.
area for sure, but
sure.
I'm just thinking from a law enforcement, I want to try to keep that as. But what was that, Kids First?
Kids First, the Child Advocacy Center.
She's thinking.
Making sure I got all my notes. Okay. Everybody else good? Anything else to add? All right. Discussion of meeting dates and times.
So, based on, since the Community Services Development Committee combined, typically the next meeting would be the 5th of April, but I believe Councilor Washburn has Lane Act that night. So what I'm suggesting, requesting from the committee is instead of falling on the 5th, that we look to do it on the 4th. And then I'll work with Community Services Development to pick up the 5th.
We can do that.
Yeah, you know, so that way we're not running into a standing conflict.
Does that work with both of you guys too?
April 4th does work.
But yeah.
I'll check.
I know your schedule is probably the.
I'm just getting back from vacation that day. So.
Oh, okay.
But typically the first Tuesday of the month isn't going to be a problem for you. And that would be not standing.
It should.
Chief Larson, is that fine? Works for your schedule too?
I'll try to make it work, yeah.
Okay. If I, yeah, I mean, try to make it work for everybody. If we need to try to figure out something else, we can do that. Okay. All right. Any committee member comments?
Thank you for the good report. I really liked it. Thank you very much.
Really appreciate it. It's good to know we're selling off some cars too. So I appreciate all that kind of information.
I just want to apologize real quick. I should have introduced or had you do that from the get-go, not towards the end. So I apologize for that. I think everybody in the room already knows who you are, but it's would have been good to do at the beginning, so I apologize. I think that the reports that we got were good tonight, especially on the activity that we saw. So, like, I'm happy to see it out like that. I think that helps a lot, just kind of see what's going on. So I appreciate that. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to add? Any comments, anything? You do?
I'll wait till agenda forecast.
Oh, okay. That's where we're going.
Two things. First, with the new reports in the committee's mindset, does that replace the really thick one that you guys have been getting? Or do you still, or would you rather still have both?
I like this one that we got today.
This is more in depth.
I do like what we got. I think maybe at some point if we request the other one here and there just to kind of look, that's probably fine. But that's a lot to...
Yeah, I mean, that's just that.
Yeah.
Yes. We're starting to compete with the Planning Commission for thickness of packets. That's why I had to ask.
One thing we could think about, though, is on the major report, maybe once a quarter.
That's okay.
Think about it that way.
Absolutely, no problem.
And there's actually two more reports that we're capable of pulling, and when I tried to pull them last night, there was a computer issue, so I emailed CMI side and I emailed our IT people, so there'll be more of a breakdown.
So for the agenda forecaster, my intent at this point, we know what happens with good intentions, is at the April 4th meeting, for it to be pretty much a one-topic meeting, I handed out tonight, before the meeting, the memo from our city attorney kind of talking about the House Bill 3115. The intent is to have her at the April 4th meeting and just focus on working through this memo and all the code stuff at that time. Keeping in mind now, you know, General across from me may change my mind, but the intent is just to have one item at the meeting. Okay. So that way everybody can kind of focus in on that.
Okay.
So. If that works for everybody, then that's what I'll do going forward, and we'll just keep trucking along.
Okay.
There was one thing I wanted to make sure that we keep. I don't see it on here for pending business. Was the range? Can we get the range on there?
Sure. Refresh my memories. Well, was there something specific or just in general?
Just in general, yep.
That's a good idea.
Yep. I got it on there, I'll get that added.
Anything else from anybody?
I don't have anything. I'm good.
Again, I just want to welcome real quick our three new officers. We're down to only one in the room now, but thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Congratulations on graduation of the academy. Anything from...
I don't think
This is day three, so it's all good.
Anything from Deputy Chief Markell? All right, we'll go ahead and, oh, public, any comment from the public last minute? I knew Jack was gonna have some.
That concerns budget. But it's something you might put on your forecaster. Excuse me, Jack Sumner, 1061 Quince Drive. The house bill that was going to start paying for prisoners, their health care, et cetera, died in committee, didn't get a vote. So I don't know how we pay for that, we discussed it earlier. But that would have saved us some money if we'd agreed to cut some from the city. And the other thing is, items are not checked on if they're not reported by a citizen complaint. I'd like to see that changed, where we don't have to have a citizen tell us that something's going wrong. Let's find it, do it ourselves. There's been mentioned, both chiefs, Deputy Chief Markell and Chief Larson mentioned throughout different conversations about trailers, cars, sitting in one place more than a month or two. There's moss going underneath them. It's a good indication it's not moving. Here 2 months ago, I still haven't gotten an answer back from this committee as to what happened to the two cars that I reported. That's not a ding on the committee or a ding on the police department or anything like that. Stuff happens. But if a citizen, be it me or someone else, makes a complaint, they are due a response and not just have it asked for. Thank you.
So I want to see Jack get an answer to that because he's brought it up a couple of times now. I don't know who that would be with, police department or...
They've both been taken care of. Okay. I think it was mentioned at one of the past.
Well, okay. I didn't know if we were talking about the same exact cars. So both the cars are gone now?
Yeah, one was tagged and the owner took care of it. I think the other one got towed.
Towed, okay. Jack, is that answer satisfy you?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Anything else? Yes.
Cindy Montgomery, 1215 Oak Street. So I was wondering if it's possible, or maybe it already exists, where we know maybe a photo and the name of the officers that are serving in Junction City. So maybe the community could maybe put more of a face and a name together. I don't even know if it possibly exists on the website or on the Facebook page or somewhere, but if that is a possibility for some time in the future.
I think it's something, I mean, we can definitely discuss it and get your guys' input.
And we've talked about updating the website.
Okay.
So it's just a matter of...
Yeah, we still have that TV guy on, the black actor.
Yeah.
That's on
there. Well, we still have two chiefs that go on, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. A fact.
We just have to have the current ones.
All right, anything else from anybody? Yeah.
Roy Willett, 401 East Second Avenue. I'd like to address a safety question to the police officers. We have quite a few children that are playing in the Second and Cedar and through Birch, and the vehicles have been zooming through there, and we're wanting a petition for a stop sign. Is it going to be a safety hazard if we put up those children playing signs in the street? We're going to get trouble for that to slow those people down? I assume they run those signs being kids, but I mean, they're coming through there, they're cutting the corners, they're doing U's. They don't slow down. We need something there.
There's quite a few of them around town. Yeah. I would suggest putting them right into the yard, not blocking the street, not blocking the sidewalk.
They don't see them in the yard. They don't see the signs in the yard. They don't see the signs on the telephone pole. they don't see us, and we tell them slow down, they give us the, we're number one sign. But, yeah, so don't put them in the street.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it, thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, anything from anybody else? Anything from anybody joining online? Press star six. Okay, thank you all for being here tonight, and we'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting at 7:50. Thank you.
Recording stopped.
I'm going well.
I've got it.
It only took us 6 years.
Surprise.
I'm there.